Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Exploring Missions is a program that really tries to take you in your community around the world. Our purpose is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ first, and then encourage people to keep and do what God has called us to do concerning sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And today we have a very special guest that I've heard about. This is my first time to talk with him, so I'm excited about the conversation that I'm going to have with Brian Berry. Brian, thank you for calling in, and thank you for having this interview with us, brother.
It is an honor to get to speak with you and to get to share about what God's doing.
Our connection is a producer for Exploring the Word, the other program that I do. And he came back from a family reunion saying, hey, you need to talk to a guy named Brian Berry. And he told me about you. And so I got ready. So good things can happen at family reunions. That's always good news, you know?
Yeah, amen.
Well, tell us about yourself, where you're located, what you're doing, and what God's doing in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, at the moment, I'm currently in San Antonio, Texas. I flew down here to surprise my girlfriend, who as of Sunday night is now my fiance.
Well, congratulations, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah, her name's Monica, and she's a beautiful young lady who loves the Lord, and it's exciting to find somebody who's on fire for God that I can get to spend the rest of my life with, serving Christ and serving others and serving her. So I'm in San Antonio right now, but I'm based out of Canton, Ohio, and my sending church is called Canton Baptist Temple, and I have the honor of being a missionary sent to Ireland out of Canton Baptist Temple, and God is just really blessed. And just a little bit of my background is, I grew up in a godly Christian home. My dad's a pastor, my grandfather's a pastor, my uncle's a pastor, and always grew up around the church, but it wasn't until I was 13 years old that I truly put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, back when I was 5, my best friend got saved, and he got to swim in front of the whole church. He got baptized, and I was like, that is so cool. I was like, I want to swim in front of the church. And my Sunday school teacher said, you mean you want to be baptized? I said, yeah. And she said, well, you got to get saved first. And I said, that's fine. Let's do the saving thing so I can do the swimming thing. So I just prayed this prayer when I was 5 with no idea what I was doing. Didn't understand that I was a sinner, that my sin separated me from God, and that Jesus Christ was the only way for salvation. But I prayed this prayer just so I can get baptized, and I struggled with it for years. But then years later, I realized, man, I don't truly know the Lord. I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My dad's a pastor, but none of that is going to get me to heaven someday because I don't know Christ. And so when I was 13 years old, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, and he saved my soul, and it's just been an adventure ever since of serving him. So that's kind of my salvation testimony. I don't know if you want to hear a little bit of how God has then directed me towards Ireland or not.
But yeah, we're going to get to that.
How I came to the Lord.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But I just wanted to say we need to let everybody know, hearing your testimony, God has no grandchildren. And you're
Absolutely.
Not going to get on into heaven on the coattails of someone else except through Jesus Christ. So a lot of people raised in church, I've heard that happen a lot, and I understand it. You know about Jesus. You love Jesus. But a lot of times you don't understand that you're a sinner separated from God, and that bridge can only be gapped through Jesus Christ. And sometimes we don't quite get that.
Yeah.
So let me just say, if anyone out there listening today, even though it's Exploring Missions, we believe in evangelism. If you've never received Christ as your Savior and Lord, you need to do exactly what Brian did. Realize that you're a sinner, lost, unable to present yourself to God as presentable in anything. And the only thing that can save you is recognition of your salvation not being by you, but only through Christ and trust in him, because he died on the cross, he rose again. And praise God, if you put your faith in him, he will give you eternal life. So, Brian, this eternal life is not just in quantity, it's quality as well, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. And one thing I'd also say is I have the opportunity to speak at a lot of youth camps, and sometimes dealing with students, you know, they'll come up to me and they'll be like, man, I don't know for sure that I know Christ, but my mom and my dad, they say, oh, yeah, you're saved. You got saved when you were, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old. And I tell them, I'm like, man, that's your walk with the Lord is between you and God. And I would not want to base my eternity on the word of somebody else, and if that someone else is not Jesus Christ. And that's just what I encourage students. I'm like, listen, you're not going to go to heaven because your mom or your dad tells you, oh, yeah, you're saved. You know if you've ever put your faith and trust in Christ, and that's just definitely what I'd encourage people is you need to settle in your own soul if you know Christ or not, not just go off of being baptized or some event, but in the finished work of Christ is what your faith and hope and trust should be in.
Amen. And we praise God for him having patience with us in our understanding, and praise God. Okay, 13 years old, grew up as a youth in church. When did God start speaking to you about, quote, ministry? Now, I know the direction of how where you're at as a missionary now, but did that happen overnight? Was it a dream? Was it a one-time event, or was it he gradually let you know?
Well, what's funny is that growing up in a pastor's home, I met missionaries all the time, and I never thought that God would use me to be a missionary, but it's not because I didn't want to do that, but it's because my whole life, every missionary I met, it seemed like their testimony went the same way. It was like God called them to be a missionary. They didn't want to be a missionary. They fought God about it for years, and then finally they surrendered, and I always just thought, well, man, if I want to do missions, this can't be God's will for my life, because it sounds like God's will is supposed to be something you don't want to do. And I thought that for a long time. And you know, I loved ministry from being around it. And it was when I was 16 years old that I truly felt like God put a special call on my life to serve him vocationally and not just, you know, and you know, churches and the world needs lay people that are serving the Lord, and it's not just the quote-unquote professionals that God uses, but I truly felt when I was 16 that it was ministry that God wanted me to do, not just, you know, in a church capacity, but as my life, but I never thought missions, and what I knew was that I loved kids ministry, youth ministry, college ministry, addictions ministry. If it was involving the church, I wanted to do it. And what I thought was I would go to Bible college wanting to do everything, and then God would narrow that down to one particular facet of ministry. And it was in 2016, at a rock-bottom moment of my life, where every single plan I had made for myself did not work out, that I thought God wasn't going to use me and couldn't use me. And I was leading worship at a youth camp, and all these students were coming forward doing business with God, and I'm singing these songs of surrender. But internally, I was just having an argument with God about, why'd you let all these things happen to me? Why aren't you going to use me? And at that youth camp, I felt God impress upon my heart that all of these feelings that he wasn't going to use me, those didn't come from him, and that it was the enemy who'd made me think those things. And it was at that youth camp in 2016 that for the very first time, I felt God impress upon my heart about why not missions. And the reason I love sharing that testimony with people is that sometimes it seems like people feel called to the Lord to do something at mountaintop moments of their life. Like, you know, they're on a missions trip and they're feeding a child or building a well or something. But that's not my story. My story is that God called me when I felt uncallable, when I felt at rock bottom and that he wasn't going to use me. He showed me that he had a bigger plan for my life than I had for myself. And what's exciting is that as a missionary, all of those areas of ministry that I love, I'll have to use. Yeah. And so it's just exciting to see how God's plan was greater than even the plan I had for myself.
Amen, brother. We're talking to Brian Berry here on Exploring Missions. He is a missionary to Ireland, but he's in San Antonio, Texas right now after asking his girlfriend to be his fiance, which would become his wife. Amen. We're excited. Hey, we'll probably do an interview after the wedding and see how it's going, brother.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, listen, okay, you said, Lord, I'm ready to be that missionary you want me to be. And tell us how Ireland came. And in doing this, Ireland, sometimes you think Asia, you think the Middle East, you think of Africa, South America, Central America, but Ireland? Tell us how that happened.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is it seems like whenever people talk about missions, sometimes they just say, you know, God, please don't call me to Africa or something like that. I always thought that'd be great, but I know this is over the radio, but I have red hair and pale skin. And I was like, God, you did not create me for the sun. So I was like, I'll go anywhere you want me. But if there's somewhere I could go that maybe the sun wouldn't kill me day one, that would be great. And that was just kind of a funny prayer. But I was also praying. I was praying for a country that God would impress upon my heart to go to where I could use the specific ways God had gifted me. And I was looking for different English-speaking countries, and because, you know, I there's different things God's blessed me with, but speaking other languages is not one of those.
Well, brother, I'm going to interrupt you and say, hallelujah, there's somebody else. When I was taking Greek in college, and I found out real quickly it was a written language more than a spoken language, and I said, I think I can do this. And so some of us are not gifted with language and being able to do that. So I identify with you. Well, continue your story about speaking, wanting to be called to an English-speaking country for mission work.
Yes, sir. And so I began researching different countries where there was a need for the gospel. And you know, I've always heard people say that you can't take the gospel to the wrong address, and I believe that. And you know, even here in America, we need more people that would be willing to be bold with the gospel and start churches and reach people. But I was looking at different mission fields that were English-speaking, and I had always been intrigued by Ireland, but I didn't know anything about it. And I looked into the numbers of how unevangelized Ireland was. And I would encourage you to look this up, because it was the numbers that really blew my mind and made me realize I need to go see Ireland. What I found in doing research is that Ireland is the least evangelized English-speaking country in the world. By percentage, Ireland, and these numbers are from an organization called the Joshua Project that tracks the spread of Christianity throughout the world. The last time I looked, Ireland was 1.55% any kind of evangelical Christian. Now, by percentage, that makes Ireland less evangelized than countries like China, Egypt, Vietnam, Cambodia. And then the country that was ranked just above Ireland at 1.57% was North Korea. And I just couldn't believe that. I was like, these are countries where they are closed to the gospel, that someone can't openly go in and preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with the salvation of sins, can't preach the Bible. But also, these are countries that have a language barrier. I was like, Ireland is open for the gospel, and Ireland has no language barrier. Why is nobody going? And I went to see Ireland for the first time and just opened to if that's where God wanted me. And it just broke my heart seeing how these people, from the world's perspective, they have it all together. It's not a third world country. They, you know, they're doing very well. But what does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose their soul? And I just went and I just was broken when I saw the spiritual darkness in Ireland. And I just prayed, God, if this is where you will lead me, you know, I'm willing to give the rest of my life to tell these people about you. And God has continued opening those doors. But that was really the first thing that led me to Ireland, was just seeing how great of a need there was. And I said, God, I don't know why no one else is coming here, but if you will use me, I'm willing to go.
Well, brother, that touches my heart, my background, my ancestry, much Irish blood running through my bones, and my wife's as well. So that thrills me that you're there. I had heard that. I had done some research. Now,
yes,
it's
sir.
So different. You know, the Great Welsh Revival, man, it did great work, but it did not spread to Ireland.
Sir.
And even Scotland had some work in it that was significant. But Ireland was like a, It was set apart that God's work was not having fruit there. God's working, and we praise God for that. Well, tell us a little bit about the ministry you have there in Ireland. Is it through a church, through ministry, Bible study, outreach? Tell me how that's working, brother.
Yes, sir. Well, with Ireland, I'm currently in the process of getting my Minister of Religion visa to move there, which, Lord willing, if you're out there listening to this, this is something you can pray about. Lord willing, my visa should be approved any week now. And once that's approved, I'm ready to move. So I've actually have not been living in Ireland yet. I had to raise financial support to move there, and then I had to get this visa. So I've been working on getting this visa to be able to move there. But what's going to happen once I'm there is that there's a church in a place called Mallow, Ireland, and it's in County Cork of Ireland, kind of in the southwest area of Ireland, and they are sponsoring me in to Ireland. And once I'm in Ireland for my visa, what I'll be doing is I'll be moving to a place called Fermoy. Now, Fermoy, it's not a very big place. It's about 7,000 to 8,000 people. But in my research of Fermoy, there's never been a gospel-preaching church. There's a lot of churches there preaching a lot of things, but not a church that preaches the gospel. And so I'm going to be moving to Fermoy.
And my initial spell that for us, Brian, so we can put that on the prayer list.
Absolutely. It's F-E-R-M-O-Y, Fermoy. And there's just never been a gospel-preaching church there. And so the church that's sponsoring me in, they've been burdened to expand their ministries out that way. And so I have a house. Ireland, it's kind of a lot of information, but Ireland is having a real big issue with a housing crisis. So I have a house in Ireland that I've been renting since January that I can't live in.
And
So I'm here in the States. but my house is there waiting for me. And what I'll be doing is I'll be moving to the community and initially starting out as a Bible study. And the goal is to start this Bible study and then eventually establish it into an independent local church. I'll also be doing things in the community just to meet people. I play guitar. I also teach guitar. And I've written a guitar curriculum, and I've raised money to buy guitars when I get to Ireland. And I teach guitar through hymns and worship songs that present the gospel. And I just want to reach boys and girls and teenagers and even adults and offer, hey, you don't have a guitar? I'll provide one for you, and I'll teach them guitar. They'll be exposed to the gospel. And then people have given this money, so I'm just going to give the guitars away at the end and say, hey, listen, people in America are praying for you. They love you, so they gave this for you. I don't need this guitar back, but more than anything, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And to use my background in teaching music, also we're going to be doing things in the community with sports leagues for adults and children, just as a way to meet people. You know, I've never really been the outsider in my life, but now I'm moving to a new country where, you know, they may look like me, but they talk a little different. And just using whatever avenues we can to meet people for the purpose of being able to present the gospel to them, invite them to our Bible study, expose them to who Jesus Christ is, and teach them that salvation is not through their works or not being part of a certain church, but having a personal relationship with Christ. And so that's my initial goals, is to be involved in starting these Bible studies, growing them, establishing them as a local church. And the long-term plan would be to start churches that start churches and to reach Christians who reach Christians and just going there and reaching people, teaching people, and sending people out. And so there's a lot of opportunity there in Ireland. And anywhere you go, you just drive through community after community, and many of them, there's never been gospel-preaching churches. So that's kind of what my ministry plans are.
Well, brother, we're going to be praying. We've got people all over America that are excited about what God's brought you to and what he's going to use you.
Amen.
And so we're talking today to Brian Berry. He is headed to Ireland and be a missionary there. We're excited about that. And we're going to try to keep up with you through Brent. I believe we can do that and make sure that we hear progress, and we'll give an update ever so often. But I know besides being engaged to get married, you have something else on your calendar that's going to take you a little further inland into Europe, something about the Olympics.
Yes,
tell us about that now, Brian.
Yes, sir. So I'm actually leaving, let's see, on Monday. I think that's July 22nd, if my dates are correct. I'll be getting on a plane and going over to Paris for the 2024 Olympics. And we're not just going to watch the games. In fact, I'll see way less of the Olympics than if I'd just been in America watching on TV. But at my church in Ohio, we have a missionary family in France. And as they were starting to think about how the Olympics were coming up in summer of 2024, about 2 years ago, he was really burdened about putting together an evangelistic outreach. And there's going to be millions of people coming to Paris for the Olympics. And we were just realizing, you know what, we will have an opportunity to reach people with the gospel that we could never reach by going to their country. Many people coming from countries that are closed to people going and openly preaching the gospel. And our philosophy is that as the world comes to Paris, we're going to be in Paris to take Christ to the world. And so I have the opportunity, it's a huge honor, to be part of Project Paris 2024. And I would encourage people, if you want to follow along with this trip that you'll hear about, you can go on Facebook and follow Project Paris 2024. But I will be in Paris for the full Olympics for about 3.5 weeks. And each week we have groups of people that are coming over from the States, all over the U.S., and we have developed a gospel tract that has a QR code on it. And now it has the gospel and Bible verses on the tract, but if people will scan this QR code, it's going to take them to a website we've developed that has the gospel presented in many different languages. They'll see it both in text and they'll see it in video form. And then if they're interested in learning more about Christ or getting plugged in with a gospel preaching church, they can contact us, and we have missionaries all over the world that we'll be willing to connect them to so they can learn more about Christ when they get home. But each week, we're going to be up almost sun up to sundown going to some strategic locations throughout Paris where there are just going to be hundreds of thousands of people, and we're going to be there passing out these tracts to people. We're ready and prepared to have gospel conversations on the streets, but our goal is to get the gospel in people's hands there in Paris, and it's just awesome. But in addition to that, I know I'm kind of just rambling, but we are also strategically targeting people with ads through Facebook. We're going to do geolocation ads. When people get on social media and they're at some of these events, they're going to be targeted with an ad that's going to share the gospel with them and give them the opportunity to learn more about Christ. There's been so much work for literally 2 years going on to this event, and it's crazy to think that it's so close to happening. But God is just blessed, and we are excited to get to Paris and to get the gospel to as many people as possible.
You know, to make this important to you on your prayer, you're hearing a lot about the Olympics, how many Americans are going, what they're going to be doing. And every time you hear that, begin praying for Project Paris 2024. And 3.5 weeks ministry there, targeting special people through Facebook. Listen, Brian, this is exciting. This is a pattern that we need to look at in reaching a lot of people at these different kind of venues where people are going to come and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And really, listen, you're going behind doors that could never be gotten into if you were to apply to be a missionary to those countries. But you guys are going to be ready to share the gospel with them, the word of God.
Amen.
That's so exciting. And we're going to be praying for you. Time is fleeting away. But again, would you let us know the website, Project Paris, that people can look at and see what it's like?
Yes, sir. So if people go to Facebook, they can follow us at Project Paris 2024. But I'd also like to let people know if there's a way other than praying that you can be involved in the trip if you would like. We still have some funds that we are trying to raise to fund the advertisements that we're going to target people with the gospel. And there's an organization, it's actually my missions board. My missions board is called SENT, which stands for Servants Evangelizing Nations Together. And people can also go to SENT, Inc., SENTINC.com, And when you go to Sense Inc., you can click on Project Paris 2024, and you can get more information on our website. But if people feel led to help with the trip financially instead of just prayerfully, we are still trying to raise some funds for people to get involved so that we can fund some of these things so we can reach more people. I'm not the one doing the ads, but the people who are taking care of that for us, they've told us that literally millions of people will see these advertisements for the gospel. And people listening, you can be involved if you go on there, and your money would go directly towards these advertisements. All the people coming on the trip, they've raised their own funds. We're not raising money for anything else other than getting the gospel to as many people as possible. So sentinc.com, and you can click on Project Paris 2024 and read more about what's going on with the Olympics.
This is so exciting, and you're going to have some people remember that. You've been looking for a way to make a difference in foreign countries where the gospel is not able to go behind those doors except undercover. Well, this is out there open, and some people get saved, and they go back to their countries. They'll go back completely different. Brian, I just want to say thank you, brother, and congratulations on the wedding, upcoming wedding, and we're praying
you,
God would just bless you and your to-be wife, and we're praying for Ireland, but we're also praying for Project Paris there and asking God to do a great work. So thank you for being with us, brother.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just ask that you pray for the safety, pray for hearts to be softened, pray for open doors. But we're excited to get to Paris. And then once, hopefully right when I get back from Paris, I'll be ready to get over to Ireland and get to work doing what God's called me to do.
Well, brother, we want to get some reports, so we're going to try to stay in contact with you. Thank you again for being with us here
on
Exploring Missions. And we ask that God would use you wherever you are, next door or around the world. Thank you again for listening to Exploring Missions.